You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region. Today we have a quick interview with longtime organizer and political activist Julian Ickham, based in Kitchener, Ontario. This interview was first aired on AWOL Radio on May 10th, 2019. Here today with Julian Ickham, who was just in court. We're going to get an update about current legal situation Julian faces. Julian, could you give us a little update on what happened and maybe a little background on what these charges are?
Basically, at this point in time, I'm facing several charges for false identification and fraud. These charges stem from an arrest in January, where there are allegations that I tried to cash a check that was not in my name using false identification. This check allegedly did not hurt anyone other than the banks. As a prequel, we've been running a tent city and spending about $100 a day feeding people and doing the job of the city. As well, myself and other people have been denied medication due to the high cost of medication and other things. What the Crown is alleging is that these checks were being used to finance my medication as well as the tent city. The reality of the situation is I did not put one penny in my pocket. And if poor people need to resort to these tactics to feed themselves, I see nothing morally wrong. The banks themselves, such as the Royal Bank and Bank of Montreal, create student loans and student debts for tens of thousands of dollars for like young individuals, many of them who end up defaulting and ending working crappy jobs or no jobs at all and having their money, particularly their taxes, seized. So in many ways, what they are accusing me of is Robin Hood-style tactics, taking from the thieves and redistributing to those who have none. This falls under necessity. People are freezing to death on the streets. People are starving to death and people are dying because of lack of medication. If the truth be told, and if I resorted to these methods, which I'm neither confirming or denying, it was because of the necessity that we cannot allow people to freeze to death while corporations are making money, creating poverty.
So today in court, in the Waterloo Regional Courthouse,
I started to make my arguments and the judge dismissed me. Some of the charges were removed and a court hearing will be set up 3 weeks from now with a judge who has jurisdiction to rule on these.
Also in Waterloo Region?
Yes. The reality is that every day at our safe injection site, we treat about 30, 40 people. I would say we deal with about 10 overdoses a day. Many times we don't have the necessary equipment and any funding that comes from whatever means to finance this equipment, such as an naloxone, which they only give you one at the Shoppers. And the social services have been getting theirs cut. Sanguine this week has had a very big shortage of naloxone as well as clean needles. I think it's important that funds be secured by any means necessary to save lives. And if the city isn't going to save lives and allow people to die on the streets, if the city is going to allow people to starve to death and sleep in tents, in the last few months has been like zero or less, risking pneumonia as well as other things, any and all means need to be done to make sure that people live.
Why don't we talk about the tent city a little more and some of the organizing that's going on in town to stem this?
The tent city was started last year. We've been negotiating with over a year for the city to give us two buildings, one to be used by addicts, which would have safe injection site, which would have programs similar to methadone, but instead use heroin, which people are using anyways, to wean people off, harm reduction, as well as ways for people to fit in. The other would be to create alternatives to drugs, such as cultural events, teaching people to play guitar, that sort of thing, The city reneged on this, so we set it up ourselves. We set up two tent cities, one for users, one without users. And we've been financing this ourselves. We've been serving two meals a day to over 100 people, which comes to about $200 a day, which is a lot of financing. We've been getting people into homes since the original tent city. I would say 70% of people have been acquiring low-income housing because of the pressure. Our other program is a safe injection site, which we've been running for about 2 months now. People come, feel a safe place to use, and if they overdose, we bring them back. We teach people how to use naloxone. We're certified trainers, and we train people and certify them. So all these programs save lives, and all these programs are not financed by the city. These people are going to die.
How can people support these, like these kind of actions, the tent cities, the ongoing overdose prevention sites or the safe injection sites?
Two things. They can write letters to the members of parliament saying how this is necessary. And the other thing is they can make donations. Donations are very important. The reality of the situation is we can't, with the heat and everything, we can't just finance these through other means. And people can contact me at my Facebook, Julian Theodore Ickham, if they would like to make donations. I would have to say about 75% of my time on Facebook is hitting up people for donations. So if people want to make donations, that would be really cool.
There was a little encouraging news recently. Maybe you could react to the city and the region coming together, picking a spot for a safe injection site 9 months from now, with an opening date as long as it's funded.
See, this is an issue. This has been promised 2 years ago, and they've been dragging their feet. The city of Cambridge has been mobilizing the most reactionary elements, not only to protest this, but to also attack the current safe injection sites. I myself have been jumped and attacked several times. You can see all the scratches on my hands and other bruises from getting into fights. Our tents have been kicked and other things. It's really important that people take a stand and show that this is important. But 9 months from now, how many people are going to die? I think it's been since January about 40 deaths. Those numbers will just increase, so people need to support what's on the ground now and push for something quicker than 9 months. 9 months is too long.
I felt when I saw that 9 months as the opening date for this location, I felt that, you know, wasn't really an adequate response to the crisis that exists. Wasn't there talk about like getting a temporary site going? Do you have any?
There was talk, but that's been squashed. So we've been doing the temporary site for now.
And that's kind of how I've seen it. Is the city has seen that you're operating a site, a very grassroots site, and they're like, oh, that'll do for another nine months.
They weren't even doing anything before that. We only did that because, like, they were saying people can wait 9 months, and it's not a solution. It's two tents and people trained in it, trying to stuff people in these tents to have a safer place to do it. Any sort of, like, well, we have this now, is kind of like a little too late. If they really did think that this was important, they'd be financing it instead of letting people like myself go up on charges around this.
Now, could there be, like, are there kind of immediately implementable solutions, short-term solutions, until the main site gets in? Is there something that could come in the short
city,
term?
First, the city can finance us. Second of all, they can set up a trailer, take some nurses from the health department, and do it up.
Mm-hmm. I've seen many times just the economic argument that it costs way more to continuously treat people for all the problems associated with overdosing, including death,
yeah.
than just to run these sites. Yet they're not running these sites even, you know, oh, we need provincial money to do this.
It's a moral issue. They think, like, the reason why methadone is being so encouraged is people believe the myth that methadone doesn't get you high, which is not true at all. But the idea is that if people get any sort of pleasure out of it, this is bad. So it's some sort of moral issue that, you know, these people need to suffer and they need to hit rock bottom and they need to be horrible. Meanwhile, while politicians are shoving their nose up with coke and stuff, they turn their blind eye to all of this. You know, so it is a bit of a hypocrisy, especially with Doug Ford. I was going to say Drug Ford.
We've got over that one.
Money and is now trying to consolidate his power by criminalizing drug users. The reality is that the drugs need to be handed out by the city to addicts, so they don't need to resort to criminality.
Anything else you wanted to add on this? How people can support? How
donate?
How people can support your
thing, as well as write to members of city council and the region. Hit them up.
The city and the region, yeah. So we'll get some of those contact information up on the website, GrandRiverMC.ca, and that's Kitchener City Council, Waterloo City Council, Cambridge City Council, and of course the region, the regional government as well. All need to be continuously pushed, even though they've. Baby steps forward, they need to be pushed to make sure there's some immediate solutions to the issues that are, I don't want to say plaguing.
Well, it is. These issues are plaguing our community. Right. People are dying because people make moral choices that say that you're less than human, therefore you have to go to the street and get ripped off and probably die.
Right, the issues that are plaguing this community. And that was our interview with longtime organizer and political activist Julian Ickham. Check out julianickham.wordpress.com for more information about the campaigns Julian works on. And check out grandrivermc.ca for more AWOL Radio. Thanks for tuning in.